But we are beginning a new series called Parenthood. And I know that in the room today, we have represented all kinds of different families. We have traditional families. We have blended families. We have empty nester families, right? You have kids, but they're out of the house. We have singles who aren't yet married, don't have any kids. We have people who are married but don't have kids. So again, the spectrum is wide. And I hope that throughout this series, even though we're going to be talking about parenthood, I hope that all of us, regardless of what stage we are in, you find something that you can take and apply to your life. Because here's the reality for us. We're going to talk through the phases today. You know, all of us are still children. And because of that, if our parents are still alive, we have a responsibility to our parents too. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about some principles that we're going to apply directly to families. But yet at the same time, these are principles that apply across life too. So again, I hope that regardless of where you're at with your family, what stage of life you're in, you find something that is meaningful to you. I think you'll be able to do that. And I'm going to begin the message this morning just a little bit differently. I'm going to jump right into the text. And so we're going to be looking this morning at Psalm 127. So if you've got a Bible, I'd invite you to turn there, Psalm 127. Otherwise, if you don't have a Bible with you, it'll be on the screen when I read it in just a second. Or if you're a YouVersion live, YouVersion Bible app user, you can navigate your way to our live event and follow along. There's actually a lot of notes in there today, so it might be a good thing to look at just so you keep up with where I'm going and follow along with me. If you're not familiar with the book of Psalms, if you take your Bible and open like right to the middle, generally speaking, your Bible is going to open to the book of Psalms. It's kind of right in the middle. If you're not right there, you're really close. But the book of Psalms as a whole is a collection of songs, many written by Israel's greatest king, David, others written by several other people. As a result of that, they were written over a long period of time and compiled together. Most of the Psalms, though, were used in temple worship. It's interesting. Well, Psalm 127 is where we're going to be today. And in some ways, you could look at Psalm 127 as a family psalm. Because it says, unless the Lord builds the house, is how it starts. Unless the Lord builds a house, the laborers work in vain. So in other words, our lives should be built on the foundation of God. When we have God in our lives, we can have peace. Without God in our lives, we're destined for worry. That's a lot about what the psalm begins by talking about. And I want to jump in starting in verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. The reason that we're starting our series here is because this passage really is going to serve to be the foundation for everything that we talk about in this series. Now, the psalm, it's relatively straightforward. It says, children are a heritage from the Lord. Children are, in some ways, a blessing from God. Children are a gift from God. And according to the context that this psalm was written in, the reason that children are a blessing from God is because they can contribute to meet the needs of the family. And especially for sons, this was true in the cultural context, and they can protect the family from those who would do them harm. And so it's important to understand that this psalm was written in a very specific cultural context at a specific time. In the time that this psalm was written in, it was written in a very patriarchal society, male-dominated society. It was the men who did the work. It was oftentimes sons who were seen as being more valuable than daughters. What would happen is that when a son got older and he got married, his wife and their new family would come to live with mom and dad. And so as a result of that, the more sons you had, the more people that you had to work or to defend the family. And so the family prospered more or was safer. They felt safer. And so that's a lot of what's happening there in Psalm 127. Now, we live in a different cultural context today where we would recognize the value not just of sons, but also of daughters. So all of our kids, we would say, are gifts from the Lord, and not just because of what they do for the family, but just because of who they are. Now, those of us who are parents, there are probably times where we would say, yes, I absolutely get that. I think about that regularly. I recognize that my kids are gifts from the Lord. Now, if we are honest, though, moms and dads, there are also times where we view our children as something slightly less than that. Maybe burdens or bills to pay. But here's the challenge for us. And again, this is sort of the foundation for the entire series. Here is the bottom line of today's message. Here's what I want you to remember as you leave today. Here is the challenge for us. The challenge for us is to view our children as gifts from the Lord in every phase of life. I remember what it was like when we first found out that Mandy was pregnant with Nathan, our oldest. We were really excited. Certainly excited about the fact that we were having Caroline too. But I want to talk a little bit about Nathan and his birth, because Caroline was much different than Nathan. Caroline fit us and our personalities. Caroline's birth was scheduled. So it was, you know, show up early in the morning at the hospital, and then an hour or so later, we have our daughter. We had her, I think it was a Monday morning, so it was during the week. Nobody could come bother us all the time. Nathan was very different, and Caroline slept, and so that fit who we are. But Nathan was different. There was nothing easy about Nathan. Even before we had Nathan, I can remember people telling us, hey, when you have kids, your life is really going to change. It's really hard being a parent. And I won't speak for Mandy in this. I know in the back of my mind, I thought this. When people would say, it's really hard, I thought, it can't be that hard. Maybe it's hard for you. I arrogantly thought, and we're smart people, we can figure this out, right? I mean, I was in my late 20s at the time. Both Mandy and I had our master's degree. I thought, like, we can figure this out, right? Man, was I wrong. At least on one occasion, if I can remember right, I think this happened twice. In some of the last checkups, you know, just as Mandy's coming to term and you know, Nathan should be born any week now. There were a couple occasions when we went to those doctor visits where the doctor said, I don't think it's a big deal, but you should probably go to the hospital and get checked out. Now, I don't know, did the doctor lie about the it's probably not a big deal part? We focused only on what came after the but. Scared us to death. When Mandy finally went into labor, she started to labor in the evening. I think it was a Friday night. So we finally went to the hospital. Contractions were close enough to go at about 10 o'clock at night. I am not a night person. Got to the hospital, got checked in. The nurse kind of checking everything, seeing how things go and stuff like that. She says, Dad, it might be a good idea to get some sleep. Yeah, right. Mandy labors through the night. They're watching the monitors and things like that. There's some things that they don't like as the doctor comes in, checks on things a little bit, and eventually, early the next morning, he says, you know what? I don't really like what I'm seeing. We should do a C-section. Never used the word emergency. It felt like an emergency to us who had no idea what was happening. Again, scared to death. You know, got all the hospital garments on. Mandy was taken to the operating room. I was able to go in there, and finally, early that morning, we had our gift from the Lord. I don't know if you know what Nathan means in Hebrew, but it means gift. And so finally, we had our son, and he was healthy. And so life was great for 10 minutes. And then all of a sudden, he starts crying, and we look at each other and say, well, now what? Like, what do we do now? And Nathan, as a baby, he never slept. He had reflux, and so his stomach hurt all the time. What we used to do to get Nathan to go to sleep is bounce up and down on an exercise ball. And I don't mean like gentle rocking back and forth. I mean like heads hitting the ceilings sometimes. That was the only thing that we could do to get him to calm down. On a couple of occasions, after he got a little bit older, I would get into the crib with him. It's the only way he would lay down. People used to tell us, you got to let him cry it out. And I'd be like, that's great advice. We tried that 2 hours of him crying. We finally looked at each other and said, somebody has to go get him. Here's what I've learned as a parent. I don't have any idea what I'm doing. And I will say this, for those of you that are in the early stages of parenthood, listen, once you get one thing figured out, all of a sudden there's a new thing that's coming and you won't know what to do then either. And so here again is the challenge for us in all of the phases. Remember, no matter how hard it is, your kids are a gift from the Lord. What I want to do for the rest of our time is just kind of walk through the phases that we go through as parents. A lot of my comments I am taking from a book called It's Just a Phase by Reggie Joyner. In our live event, there's actually an Amazon link to that book. If you find what I say halfway interesting and you want to read more about it, you can do so. Reggie Joyner was on staff at a church in Atlanta for many, many years, Christian author. The first phase that we go through as parents is the preschool phase, so those first few years of life. And I don't know about you, it's funny to me how my brain works because I look back on the preschool years very fondly. As we go through scrapbooks and look at pictures and things like that, I remember some of the first few programs that we attended. You know, Nathan's first T-ball game, Caroline's first dance recital, and I just very fondly remember those things. And somehow I've blacked out all of the realities of that phase, because the truth is that that phase is marked by sleepless nights. Nights where your sleep is interrupted because of some form of bodily fluid that you have to take care of. And so listen, parents, if you are in that stage, every time you get up in the middle of the night because somebody has done something or spewed something somewhere, listen, remember, your kids are a gift from the Lord. In the preschool phase, what our kids are doing is that they are developing trust. That's the biggest thing that preschoolers are developing, is developing trust. It's interesting, there are studies that show that adults who have trust issues, their trust issues are rooted in something that happened early on in life, even before there was a conscious awareness of what was happening with them. So what our kids need from us more than anything else, this is relatively simple, but so important, our kids need us to meet their physical needs. So they need good food to eat, a nice place to sleep. They need clean diapers. And all of that, again, those things seem really sort of fundamental to many of us, but the reality is they need those things because of what is being developed as we give those things to them. One of the things that I want to do throughout each of these phases is talk about what's happening in relation to faith in each of the stages. And so with preschoolers, the thing that they need in relation to their faith more than anything else is to know that God loves them. They need to know that God loves them. Now, how do they understand that God loves them? They get that from us, their parents. So as we love them well and we show that love primarily in those early years through taking care of them, they can begin to understand that God also loves them as well. It's the preschool years. The second stage that we go through are the elementary years. Elementary years maybe are the best for parents. Part of the reason is because of how your kids view you. Likely, you are viewed in the eyes of your children in that stage as being larger than life. You can do no wrong. I mean, this is on the playground, the kids arguing, my dad can beat up your dad, my mom is smarter than your mom, right? The reality is that that's the way our kids view us, like we're their superheroes. And so listen, moms and dads, when you're in that stage, even though your kids may view you as a superhero, remember your kids are a gift from the Lord. During the elementary stage, what our kids are learning is they're developing wisdom. Especially when they go to school. All of a sudden, a new world of information is opened up to them. They're just learning all kinds of things. They're trying to synthesize this information. How does all of this make sense? And so they begin, if they haven't done so at the end of the preschool years, in the early elementary years especially, they are going to ask why for everything. and they'll come home from school and be like, hey, mom, dad, did you know that? Whatever it is, it's like something that you haven't learned since second, you've known since second grade or haven't thought about since second grade, and you have to pretend like, yes, it is revolutionary, whatever this thing is that they learned on that day. And so listen, especially for those of you who have a talkative child and who wants to tell you about everything, moms and dads, that they may drive you up a wall, remember, your kids are a gift from the Lord. In relation to their faith, the thing that our elementary school, or what our kids need from us in elementary school is to engage in their interests. Engage in their, find out what they want to do, what they like to do, and do it with them. It's so important that we do things with our kids during that stage, and here's the reason, because it doesn't last. So take advantage of the fact that they do see you as a superhero and they want to spend time with you. So spend time, engage in their interests, spend time with them, because it doesn't last forever. In relation to their faith, they need to understand, need to be able to trust God's character. Now, how do they come to trust God's character? Again, it's primarily through us. And so as parents, if we are trustworthy, if we say we're going to do something for our kids and we follow through on that, they learn that when God says something, they can trust him. But if we are not trustworthy as parents and they find out, well, God said this, they look and say, well, how do I know I can trust God? They need to learn to trust God. They trust God through us. The next phase after elementary school, of course, is middle school. And this is the one that we as a family are learning about and experiencing for the very first time. Middle school is different. In elementary school, as a parent, you're viewed as larger than life, right? You're their superhero. And I don't know how it happens. It seems like it happens overnight. All of a sudden, you go, once your child enters middle school, you become old and out of touch. And you know nothing. So it's hard. As a parent, it's hard for kids too. And so in the spite of the fact, moms or dads, if you have middle school kids, in spite of the fact that you now are old and out of touch, remember, your kids are a gift from the Lord. What our kids are developing in middle school is their sense of identity and belonging. So they're trying to figure out who they are and where they fit in the world. And so that's why middle school is hard. It's trying to find that peer group where they fit, trying to figure out who they really are. In addition to the fact that they're all the physical changes that they're experiencing, it can be a struggle. And so as a result of that, what we need to do as parents is to affirm their personal journey, right? Recognizing some of the changes that they're going through, trying to help them figure out who they are, walking with them through that. But you know, here's the thing, as we see our kids in middle school struggle, there will be a tendency for us to become what is referred to as helicopter parents and swoop in and fix everything. We got to fight that temptation, because the struggle is part of maturing. It's part of growth. And so we need to walk with them through that so they're not alone in that, but we don't at the same time come in and try to fix everything when we see our kids struggle. In relation to their faith, what middle schoolers need to do is to own their own faith. See, at some point in our faith journey, our faith has to go from being, well, that's what mom and dad believe, or that's what we believe, that's what our family believes, but no, this is what I believe. Oftentimes that happens in middle school. So in relation to faith in middle school, kids may have some doubts. They may have some questions. If you're in that stage, moms and dads, I would encourage you to allow your kids to ask hard questions. Give them the best answers that you can. But I just don't think that doubt is something that should scare us. Because honest doubt leads to a search for truth. And if we believe that the Bible is true and the gospel is real, the good news about Jesus is real, you know where those honest questions are going to lead our children? Back to the truth of God's word. That's middle school, that transitionary period. In high school, this is the first stage that I don't know what it's like to be a parent. I can remember what it's like to be a high schooler, though. I kind of remember that a little bit. And I don't think I would have said that my parents were the dumbest people on earth. But if you were to have given me truth serum when I was in high school, I would have told you that, yes, I was, in fact, the smartest person on earth. And if that's what your high schoolers think about themselves, I understand it would be really easy to view yourself or think that your kids view you as the dumbest person on the face of the earth. So moms and dads, when you're in that stage, listen, remember this. Even though you might feel like you are the dumbest person on earth, remember your kids are a gift from the Lord. During the high school years, what our kids are developing, or what they should be developing, is independence. The reason I say what they should be developing is because of this relatively new phenomenon that's called delayed adolescence. So it used to be that we would look at adolescence and say adolescence, it's kind of those teenage years, it ends 19, 20 years old, and you're out of adolescence, you're into adulthood. But what studies are showing now is that some of the same behaviors that used to end at 18, 19, 20 are now continuing into the mid to late 20s, sometimes even in the early 30s. And there still is that connection back at home. Well, what needs to be happening with our students at that age in the high school years is that they're being a little bit more independent. You're letting them go just a little bit. And so what they need from us as parents is to mobilize their potential. Mobilize their potential. It's helping them to understand a little bit more about who they are, how they're gifted, how they're wired, the things that they're good at, how they can contribute to society, how they can make a difference in the lives of other people. All of those kinds of things, we help our kids walk through that. And I would just encourage moms and dads in that stage too, to help them to understand that at those moments in those high school years, the hard work that they put in actually makes a difference in the long run, because sometimes they don't see the end result. They don't see a long time down the road. And in relation to their faith, what they need is to pursue authentic faith. They need to pursue authentic faith. And so likely during the high school years, there's still some lingering questions about faith as they try to figure out what is real versus just the things that they have been taught or things that they've heard. And so we just continue to walk them through that. But as they begin to pursue authentic faith during those high school years, if they do that well, they can be released to do some incredible things. The next phase that we go through is the college and young adult phase. And what they're doing, what they're developing in this stage is they're establishing their own life where you're not at the center anymore. And sometimes for families that can be really hard, but you have to be willing to let them go. And so moms and dads, when you're in that college and young adult phase, when you're in the process of letting your kids go, where you don't talk to them every day, you don't hear from them every day, remember, your kids are a gift from the Lord. As they are out there developing their own lives, what they need from us as parents is to be wise counsel when asked. Now, this is hard, because likely during those college years, those young adult years, you're going to look and say, I need to tell my kid what to do all the time. Look at them. And maybe there are times where you really need to give advice where they're not really ready to take it. And you got to figure out how to navigate through that, because you can see mistakes that they're making, right, or getting ready to make, and you want to keep them from that. I understand that. So you got to figure that out. But here's the problem. When all you want to do is tell them what to do all the time, likely that's part of that delayed adolescence, or they're going to reject it completely, and that's going to inhibit your relationship with them. So your responsibility is to be wise counsel when they ask. Be ready to step in when they ask for advice and be that for them. In relation to their faith, what college students and young adults need is a mission to pursue. Because the reality is during those young adult years, they have more free time than at any other point in life. And if directed in the right way and mobilized, they can do incredible things for God. At that age, they believe that they can change the world, and so we might ought to let them go and try to do it. It's the young adult phase. You know what? At this is where probably most people would stop. Right? Kids are out of the house. They're grown up. They're off the payroll. I don't have any responsibilities anymore. But life doesn't end with adulthood, because the final stage is with adults. And this is by far the longest stage that we go through in life. It can last decades, hopefully, in relation to our parents. But this one's different, because this stage, really, it's not about what our kids need from us, but there's a role change, and it becomes about what we need from our kids. And so, parents of adult children, if that's the stage that you are in, remember your kids are a gift from the Lord. At some point, the roles change and you go from being the one who is the caregiver to the one who needs to be cared for. And as you get older, it starts relatively simply with just things that you can't do anymore. So it's not about, like, what do I do for my kids? Now it's about what they do for me. I've watched this process with my parents and my grandparents. And so it starts simply maybe things around the house that they can't do anymore, yard work, house maintenance, whatever it is. And it will progress at some point to where you have to make decisions for the care of your aging parents. And that's hard. It's hard to see mom and dad get old and slow down. But it's then that we, as children, as we look towards our parents, can be an incredible blessing to them. What's happening during those adult years in relation to our faith? I think the most important thing that we could ever do as adults is give away our faith at every single turn. Because as we progress in our faith, we have to go from, in thinking about church and different things like that, it's not just about what we get, but it is about what we give. And we have to be giving away our faith to people who come behind us at every single turn. I want to end this morning this way, though, because I think in a lot of ways what I have presented is the ideal, right? It's if you walk through all of these stages and you do everything the right way, here is what's going to happen. And I don't want it to sound formulaic, because it's not a formula. It's not foolproof. But I would say this, because some of you are thinking, man, like as I look back on it, I didn't do what was needed in that stage. I missed it. I wasn't there. Or maybe even some of you would say, I wasn't even a follower of Christ at that point. Like, what do I do? Number one, be willing to accept grace. I, just even thinking about my own life, I think I do enough on almost a daily basis to ruin my kids for their life, for their entire lives. That's where grace comes in. And the goodness of God extended to our families to make up for what we lack. So I would say that. Be willing to accept grace. That's first. Second is just start now. It's never too late to begin to invest in your children at the stage that they are, giving them what they need from you, loving them well, and helping them to develop that faith in whatever stage you're in. So I would say that. And the other thing I would say this, because there are grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles in this room. Hey, every one of us can make a difference in the life of a child. As a grandma or a grandpa, as an aunt or an uncle, or just an invested leader, we can be the one who is there for that child if mom and dad aren't there doing what they need in those different stages of life. But remember this, in whatever stage you are. And today, listen, today's just kind of foundational in everything we're going to talk about. Remember, this is the thing to keep in mind throughout the entire series. Whatever stage you're in, your children are a gift from the Lord. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the children that are in our lives. Father, I pray that you would be at work in the lives of our children. God, that you would guide us as parents. You would give us wisdom. We need help because it's not easy. And so, God, in the midst of the good times, help us to remember our kids are a gift from you. In the midst of the difficult times, in the midst of the challenges, in the midst of the doubts, the questions, the struggles that we face, help us to remember that they are a gift from you that needs to be treasured. So, Father, be at work in our families. Guide us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.